manufacturer as, quote, well-suited for large wind farms, unquote, in very close proximity to residential developments and homesteads. Although re-siting the proposed turbine could potentially address our concerns as property owners, our letters also clearly establish that this single turbine project has virtually no economic, educational, or research value, wherever it might be sited. Wind turbines are no longer the new and emerging technology that they may have been in 2003. There are hundreds of large turbines in Illinois, thousands across the country. The time, if ever there was one, to erect what will amount to be a $5 million symbol is long in the past. The university must not only be perceived as a wise steward of funds provided by taxpayers, tuition payers, and funders awarding grants and contracts for research and public service, it must also act as one. To that end, I respectfully urge you to protect the reputation of the university by abandoning this project altogether. There is a tremendous amount of uncertainty and concern surrounding this project, at least among the community members likely to be most affected. Therefore, I take this opportunity to ask that the board provide an unambiguous statement of its position vis-a-vis the proposed project in as timely a fashion as possible. There are many other projects that can be carried out on campus using funds currently designated for the turbine project that will help meet UIUC's objectives of reducing its carbon footprint, fossil fuel consumption, and energy costs in an economically effective way. One proven example is the retrocommissioning effort being directed by Facilities and Services on the UIUC campus. In several buildings retrocommissioned to date, the dollar value of the yearly energy savings exceeds the dollar value of the predicted annual output of the proposed turbine. Using the university's own numbers, as of May 2010, retrocommissioning projects costing a total of $4 million had realized savings of $5.2 million over a period of 3 years. To the extent that more students can be brought into the process of making decisions about these projects, that would be of great assistance in encouraging continued student engagement in campus sustainability efforts while being respectful of neighbors and upholding the stated institutional commitment to public engagement for the benefit of both the campus and the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'd like to call the next speaker, a familiar face, David Olson.
Chairman Kennedy, President Hogan, members of the board, and distinguished guests, thank you for allowing me this time to speak. My name, as many of you know, is David Olson, and I currently serve as student body president at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I first want to thank the board for your decision at your last meeting on January 20th to delay approving the library IT and AFMFA fees to allow students additional time to review the fees. I know some members of the board approached the decision with trepidation, but I hope you've been able to see our good faith in our follow-through. I'm very proud of my colleagues, especially the committee and Chairman Jake Vermillion, who put together a thorough report, which many of you have seen, in about 2 weeks, and we've been thrilled by the subsequent endorsement of the recommendations that the committee made, which now await your approval. Student fees, like tuition, represent a significant cost to students, but students do support the many services they receive through these fees on their respective campuses. I know this situation represents another chapter of positive student engagement with the student fee process and positive student engagement with this board. I would be remiss if I did not address the elephant in the room, tuition. Many of my student colleagues are adamantly opposed to this or any tuition increase. Others are not happy about it, but recognize the necessity of additional funding to maintaining the quality of our institution. I think we all can appreciate this board and this university's commitment to the initiatives that have been taken by the foundation and the university to increase donor-funded aid and to increase financial aid assistance commensurate with the increase in tuition. On a personal note, I believe we must recognize the issue of quality that has been brought up so frequently already here today. We need to retain the best faculty and staff, and part of that retention involves competitive compensation. Several faculty in my college, the Urbana College of Business, have already left this year, and I know more are looking to do the same. This is unacceptable. A comprehensive strategy to confront this problem, which at heart is caused by a decline in state funding from the state we cannot rely upon to meet its obligations, must combine cost-cutting and revenue increases. Unfortunately, these actions must include increasing revenue from our students and reduction of programs. Two decisions which are very difficult, but very necessary. I would hope the state would help to support its land-grant university, but in the case of their certain withdrawal from their compact, we must, as an institution, and I ask you as a board, to make the difficult decisions necessary to protect this institution. I guarantee tuition increases and program cuts will not be popular, but I urge the board to do what they believe is right to protect our beloved institution. Finally, as many of you know, this is my last board meeting of my tenure as Urbana Campus Student Body President, which ends on April 20th, as we swear in a new president and student senate at the Urbana Campus. I'm very proud of the accomplishments of this student senate, which have included events to promote campus safety, engagement with the local community and officials, advocacy at state and federal levels, and additional engagement with this board and university officials. We truly aim to serve, as stated in our Constitution, as the official voice of the student body. And I hope my leadership and engagement with this board has furthered that voice. I hope this positive relationship and engagement can continue to develop as my successor enters office. This board, as I personally can attest, is truly committed to the University of Illinois and to its students who are at its heart. It has been an honor and a privilege to serve with each of you, and I wish you all the best as you endeavor to protect and develop this great institution. Godspeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Mr. Rick Atterbury.
Mr. Chair and members of the Board of Trustees, I thank you for this opportunity. I chair the Council of Academic Professionals on the Urbana campus, CAP being the elected advisory body representing academic professionals to the Chancellor. Former Provost Linda Katehi formed an AP task force, and in its 2008 executive summary, the force said this: imagine a workforce that breaks through traditional barriers and that is flexible, self-directed, multidisciplinary, and able to adapt to the changing needs of the university. In fact, these are the characteristics of the academic professional employee group at Illinois. It's been stated by a former colleague, now at UC Berkeley, that Illinois is the envy of our peer institutions, as we're one of the few public institutions with an academic professional workforce not constrained by an onerous set of rules and regulations. Academic professionals are a unique category of employees. APs teach classes, engage in research, advise students, direct programs, and provide specialized administrative and technical services. AP positions were initially created in response to the need for a different kind of specialized workforce, not met by the civil service system. In fact, the civil service system created a series of standard AP titles specifically exempt from the system. The essential role that the APs fulfill on this campus is further evidenced by the recent approval of the Academic Senate to grant 7 seats to APs. Following recent audit activity at the Chicago campus, at least 3,000 AP positions are expected to be reviewed. To date, 600 have been audited. And at the Medical Center alone, of the 325 positions reviewed, approximately two-thirds, 223, will be converted to civil service. In Urbana, University Administration recently converted 15 grants and contracts positions to civil service, a distressing move to us that may put pressure on the Urbana campus to make similar far-reaching changes to many other AP positions. At the same time, proposals have been put forward by state legislators and by the director of the State University Civil Service System through the Merit Board to remove the campus authority to exempt positions from the CS system. This effectively would result in a third party making employment decisions for this campus without the benefit of the knowledge and expertise about unit needs and campus operations required to make effective hiring and promotion decisions. CAP supports the appropriate classification of positions, but the need for positions outside the civil service system clearly continues to exist. The civil service system now claims to be able to meet the university's needs via the pilot program, which is intended to afford some flexibility in position classification. But this program is scheduled for imminent change, and details of the upcoming change are as yet unknown. Under either the pilot program or current rules, employment processes are severely restricted to the detriment of the Urbana campus teaching, research, administrative, and technical functions. Restrictions on recruiting, hiring, and retaining top-tier candidates may result in the loss of both future and current talent, Such talent is necessary for the Urbana campus to remain a competitive, world-renowned